If you will, turn with me this morning to Psalm 106. One verse this morning, Psalm 106:1. As we have been celebrating Thanksgiving, let us look at God's recipe for Thanksgiving. Let's pray, and then we'll consider God's Word. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of coming before You. We thank You for Your love for us as a congregation in a community in Christ. And we thank You for Your blessings that have been poured out on us, for Your faithfulness to us in the past year, and for Your promise of faithfulness to come. We thank You, Father, and acknowledge great is Your faithfulness. With thanksgiving we come. Father, teach our hearts to be thankful and to rest in the mercies of Christ anew this hour. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 106, verse 1. This is one of the most common ways, you can find this in several psalms actually, in just nuanced language, one of the most common ways that the psalms in the latter part of the psalms, the book of Psalms, are introduced. Hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. I love the Thanksgiving meal. I like it when Thanksgiving comes because it's the one time of the year that I get the Dabney tradition. That's my wife is from the Dabney. So when Hannah and Marion make the world's best dressing. Matter of fact, if you look it up in the recipe book, that's what it says at the top. The world's best dressing. If you want to know what the pastor thinks is the world's best dressing, this is how you make it. It takes 4 cups of cornbread crumbled. You can use cornbread stuffing. 1 stick of butter, 1 large onion chopped, 4 stalks of celery chopped with the leaves, 1 cup of pecans chopped, 2 Granny Smith's apple. You take off the peel and then you dice the apples, 1 pound of mild sausage cooked and crumbled. 2 pounds is even better. 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of basil, 1/2 teaspoon of paprika, 1/8 teaspoon of nutmeg, 2 to 3 eggs beaten, and then enough milk to get it the consistency that you want it. It's the world's best dressing. In the Thanksgiving meal, it's my favorite thing. I can remember when I was first invited to the Dabneys for Thanksgiving, they had this dressing, and I had not been particularly fond of dressing growing up, and so I wouldn't eat it until they kept saying it, but it's the best. You got to try it. It's the best. And I had it one time, and I was hooked. It's the recipe that works. It's the way I think you ought to make dressing. Now, it's okay if you got a different recipe. That's all right. You can have your own recipes for Thanksgiving. But I began to think this week, you know, God has given us an essential recipe for the Christian life. And one of the things that it certainly includes is Thanksgiving. Without giving thanks to God, the Christian life is incomplete. Without giving thanks to God, we fail to put in one of the chief ingredients of the Christian life. God calls us to be a thankful people. We are to give thanks to the Lord. And when we fail in thankfulness, we fail to put God in His proper place. You see, true thankfulness is a mark of maturing Christianity. As a matter of fact, I would ask you this question. Do you give thanks only when you feel like it, or are you thankful all the time? You know, all of us are thankful at certain points. You can turn the TV on a Thanksgiving day, and it's full with people around the world saying what they're thankful for or why they feel thankful. But there's something different in the Christian life. It's not that we are to feel thankful. It's that we are to be thankful. That the note that our heart strikes is a note of thanksgiving to God. The melody that our heart plays is within the understanding that we have much from God, and so we are a thankful people. You see, thankful words to God lead to a thankful life in Christ. I want you to see that from our verse this morning. First, the occupation our thanksgiving maintains. The occupation our thanksgiving maintains. Notice the exhortation of the psalmist here. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord. We are to be consumed with an attitude of thanksgiving. We are to have gratitude in our heart, and we are to be a thankful people. In 1973, when the PCA, our denomination, Presbyterian Church in America, was started, it was essentially a small fledgling denomination that was broke. But in its founding principles, six of the 10 principles were to be a Great Commission church. And immediately the church wanted to send out, the denomination wanted to send out missionaries, but they looked around, they didn't have much money to do that. A certain corporation gave $90,000 so that they could send out their first missionaries, and the PCA sent missionaries to Acapulco, to Mexico. And one of those missionaries was a man named Dick Dye. He went there, and as he began to do the work, he actually got discouraged at first, and he would ride around the city and try to make visits and try to introduce himself to people, and he became discouraged with the work, except there was, on a mountain there in Acapulco, there was this large cross, and every time he would look up at the cross, he would say thank you. It was a reminder to him of what Christ had done, and he was very thankful for that reminder. One day he decided that he'd drive to the top of that mountain and see that cross, and when he got up there, he realized that it was actually a hotel that was there, and that they had put up this cross. And so he walked in, he asked the secretary if he could speak to the person who owned or ran the establishment. And she said, "Do you have an appointment?" And he said, "No." And she said, "Well, why would you like to speak to him?" He said, "I just want to say thank you." And so she got him in. He went in, he sat at the owner's desk, and as he sat across from the man, he said, I just wanted to thank you for having the cross here. I ride around town, I see it, and I just give thanks to God, and I wanted to thank you." And the owner of that particular establishment, he just began to weep, put his head down on the desk and began to weep. He said, "You're the first person, that cross has been here for years, you're the first person to ever say thank you. Many people have given me a hard time about it, told me they didn't like it, but you're the first to, now who are you? You're the first to say, who are you and what is it that you need?" He said, "I didn't come because I need anything, I just wanted to say thank you." He said, "What do you do?" "I'm a missionary." He said, "Well, where do you meet?" And he said, "Well, I'm just getting started, I don't have a place to meet yet." And he said, "Will you come with me?" He took him out back, and there was a beautiful chapel there. And he said, "This chapel will be where you will meet 10 a.m. every Sunday. You're to meet starting this Sunday, and every Sunday thereafter you come and you meet here." And so he did. And in 4 years, Dick Dye was able to start four churches that he turned over to the Presbyterian Church of Mexico, all because of a thank you. You know, we come this morning with a collective thank you. A thank you for the cross. A thank you for what God has done. A reminder that our hearts are full of thanks because God has met us. You see, our occupation, as it were, is that we should maintain this thankful frame of mind. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord. The biblical history from the beginning is really the history of a people thankful for their God, thankful for all that God gives, but mainly thankful for who God is. You know, we are prone to see Thanksgiving as a day, right? We're prone to see it as a day that we look forward to when we can give thanks. Maybe you did that as a family. Our family did that, spent some time giving thanks. But as you do that, what I want you to see here is it's not just a day that we're supposed to be thankful. It's a lifestyle that God calls us to. It's not a day of thanksgiving. It's a lifestyle of thanksgiving that should mark our hearts, mark the hearts of those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the Psalms are filled with this melody of thanksgiving to God. As a matter of fact, Psalm 105, one that was in our one of our first readings this morning, begins that way. Give thanks to the Lord. It's a thanksgiving for all that God has done, for the salvation He has brought. Psalm 105 is a great thanksgiving of how God has been faithful. Psalm 106, this psalm where we are this morning, it's a thanksgiving to God who doesn't leave us despite all the bad things we do. If you read on in the Psalms, you'll see where these people have departed from God, but yet God is faithful. It's thanksgiving to God. Psalm 107 begins the same. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. It's a thanksgiving for the redeeming love of God. You see it in many places in the Psalms. This echo of the heart to give thanks to God for His good gifts, to give thanks to God for Him. It's an attitude that should be set in the baseline of our hearts, that the melody line of our hearts should be thankful to God. But the truth is, there really are different attitudes towards the gifts that God gives, towards this attitude of thanksgiving. Some are just complainers. They're not thankful at all. They're just complainers. And this, everything God gives, they expect. And really, they think you ought to give some more. It's that spoiled child syndrome, right? You ever met anyone like that? Maybe there's one or two here who God's never really done enough. And so I'm really not thankful. I deserve everything I get. And I'm going to complain about what I don't have. Some have a very complaining mentality towards Thanksgiving. Others of us may have a complacent attitude towards Thanksgiving. You know, we see that God has given some good things, but we need those things. And so, of course, God ought to give us those things. And we what? We begin to take God for granted. And, you know, He supplies the things we need, but that's the job of God, right? To give us what we need. And so we take Him for granted. Some are more conscious than that. Maybe you're not a complainer, or maybe you're not complacent. Maybe you're conscious of the good things of God. And when it really hits you in the face, you say, thank you, God. You know, you're reminded on a day like Thursday of this week that you ought to be thankful for your home and for your family and for the good things God's given you. And so when you're conscious of it, you say, thank you, Lord. Thanks, God, for the good things you give. But you know, I think really what the text wants us to see is the exhortation is about being a contemplative thinker, to having this attitude that reflects on the goodness of God, reflects on the gifts of God, and is thankful. It's not just when it hits you, you're thankful. It's that we stimulate the undercurrent of thanksgiving with our heart. Why? Because we are exhorted here to give thanks to the Lord. You see, the pursuit of a genuine thankful heart is not motivated by feeling. It's motivated by faith. That we would walk by faith with thanksgiving for what God has given. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. And that thanksgiving has an object there. Now, it's not just that we have this feel of being thankful. No, it's a thankfulness that has directions. It's directed to God. It's not undirected. It's directed towards God. Marvin Olasky, who often writes editorials for World Magazine, this recent World Magazine was entitled on the front, Giving Thanks, and it had several articles about things that we could be thankful about in America. And in the closing, he usually has the closing article. He had an article that was entitled Thank versus Thank You. Thank versus Thank You. And the subtitle was Gratitude Directed Towards God Changes Everything. It's a gratitude with direction. He recounted a time he had just spent with an atheist friend. They had discussed many things. They were both thankful for many things. But the atheist could only say, you know, I'm thankful. He couldn't say who he was thankful to or had a hard time even saying what he was thankful for. And Olasky said that, you know, their weekend kind of began well, but it kind of ended on kind of some tenuous things because at the very base level of their beliefs, there was a difference. Everything for Olasky came back to God. He was thankful with direction. He was thankful to God. You see, our devotion to Christ is what governs our thankfulness. Our devotion to God is what directs our thankfulness so that we're thankful to God. That's why I want you to see this morning that the goal of the psalmist is to see that our thanksgiving is a God-exalting endeavor. It's not just enough to be thankful. We must be thankful to God, for God, thankful with one another at the benefits that God brings. That's the thanksgiving that should govern our hearts. Thanksgiving is a healthy Christian lifestyle. It's a part of the, you know, you don't get fit by living on cotton candy. It won't help your physique at all. And you won't get spiritually healthy by living on spiritual cotton candy. We must tune the heart with thanksgiving. We must pursue the love of Christ and show Him. So how do you do that? How do you give thanks? And how do you promote gratitude within your heart? Well, let me suggest that every time you ask God for something this week, you thank Him for something as well. You know, it's easy for us just in those times when we pray or in those times when we just kind of spontaneously throw up a prayer to ask God for something, right? Mom, sometimes you're just pulling your hair out and you say, God, help me with these children. Here's what I'm proposing. The next time you want to pull your hair out, say, God, thank you for these children, but please help me. You know, you're in that work situation where the crisis erupts. You know it's coming at some point. You'd like to never see it. But maybe you ought to thank God for the opportunity to have the job where you can do good work and where you can resolve conflict. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work through the issues at hand. But Lord, I need your help. Maybe it's in the relationship that you have that are nearest and dearest to you, that you have these relationships and sometimes there's stress and there's, and what you really want to pray is, God, change my wife, or God, change my husband, or change my boyfriend or my girlfriend or my friend. You know, but maybe you ought to thank God that He's given you real relationships with real meaning, and that He would change your hearts as He changes the relationship. You get where I'm going here? Is the way we exalt God is that we put Him in every circumstance, petition, and endeavor in life. That we be thankful for the fact that we can sit here in a room that is heated and cooled and worship the Lord. You know, we take for granted the modern things we have. Most of the church, for most of the history of the church, couldn't do that. But we have a place of comfort to come to worship the living God. Here's the point I want you to see. Is that the endeavor to exalt God is to be thankful in our lives. Even when we need God, we must ask Him. But let's join that with the thanksgiving of all that God gives. You see, we are called to exalt God in the grand and the mundane. In our lives of thanksgiving, a life of thanksgiving is a way to honor Him. To praise Him. Be thankful. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Second, I want you to see, not only are we called to the occupation, that is the pursuit of a thankful heart. Secondly, I want you to see that we make this observation, the observation our thanksgiving measures. Notice again the text. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God's abiding goodness to us springs up, wells up within the heart so that we must sing in thankfulness to the Lord. You see, when our gratitude is informed by His goodness, it becomes pervasive. When our gratitude is informed by who God is, we will be thankful. Now notice here, it doesn't say that God gives good things. It says God is good. The basis of our thanksgiving is not merely in the good things God gives. He does give good things, but it's based in the very character of God. God is good. I think I've shared this before, but when I was in another church right next to us, just a subdivision away from us, there was a little Black Baptist church, and the pastor there, every time he opened the church, he would stand up and he would say, God is good all the time. And the whole congregation would say back to him, all the time, God is good. And that's good theology right there. That is an understanding that is good theology. You see, where were they finding their foundation for worship? Where we need to find our foundation for worship and thanksgiving this morning. God is good. God is good when things are good, and God is good when things are bad. It's saying that God is good. You know, in the satisfying times, when things are full and life is at its best, maybe a weekend like this for some of you. You know, it's been very satisfying because you've had friends in. You've had family and you've had time together. And life feels full. That's a time to thank God. But you know, we have a hard time in satisfying times thanking God, right? It's like the businessman who makes the first big sale. Then he's thankful to God, right? Or the athlete who gets the big win that first time. You know, then we're thankful to God. But it's interesting, you know, as those things go on, even though it's satisfying, we tend to lean more on ourselves and not on God. But in the satisfying times, we need to be thankful. But also in the sad times, we can be thankful. Some of you are in those sad times of life. In the sad times, there are still ways that we can be thankful. Why? Because everything is good? No, not everything is good. But God is good, even when everything is not good. And we may have to search a little harder and pull out our sleuth skills to figure out where God's at work, but He is at work and He is good. So even in the sad times, we need to teach our heart to sing the music of thanksgiving. Not only in the satisfying times when things are really good or when things are really bad do we struggle. Sometimes it's just the simple day-to-day times, isn't it? When we have everything we need, we rise in the morning, you get up in the morning, you go to the mirror, you shave, you get in the shower. Okay, some of you don't shave yet, but some of you do. You know, that's what I do. I get up in the morning, I shave, I go about my day. I've got a schedule. I can drop into the bed and never be thankful. And yet God's provided everything I needed for that day. And even the simple things, we ought to be thankful. We ought to cultivate this heart, this attitude of thanksgiving. Because God calls us to plow into the seedbeds of our belief and our heart, the very mentality of being thankful to God for all He gives. You see, our gratitude must be rooted in who God is. And the text here says, God is good. We thank God first for who He is before we thank God for what He gives. Now, this is important. Get this again. We thank God first for who He is before we thank God for what He gives. He gives good things, but first we need to see God is good. So give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And if you need proof of that, that's what the Scriptures teach us. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 5, what are we told in 1 Corinthians? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. What's the will of God for you? To give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5, we'll make it there sometime next year. But in Ephesians 5, verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything. Notice there, how inclusive is our thanksgiving? Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be a people who are always giving thanks. Well, what does that look like? One of my favorite commentators on the Bible, I still think he is unsurpassed as far as commentaries on the whole Bible, is a man named Matthew Henry. One time Matthew Henry was walking and strolling along the street, and he was accosted by some thieves, and they robbed him. They stole his purse from him that had his money and many of his valuables in it. And when he went home, he sat down and he wrote in his journal. You know what he wrote in his journal? It wouldn't have been what I would have written in mine, I'm pretty sure. But he wrote this: let me be thankful. This is Matthew Henry. Let me be thankful. First, I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. Do you think like that? I never think of myself in light of the one who might have been doing the robbing. I never think to give thanks in that way. But here's where a biblical theology of God's goodness saturates our being, and we understand that we have much to be thankful for. We're not in that place. God has us. He sustains us. He keeps us. So let us give thanks to God continually for His goodness. Let us continually give thanks for the goodness of God. You know, it's interesting that the greatest enemy to my thankfulness, my being thankful to God, is my own, what eclipses that thankfulness is my own appetites and my agonies. Is it true for you? You know, when my appetites get me, when I want, I want, I want, I find that I am unthankful. Or when I hurt, I hurt, I hurt, I find my tendency is to be unthankful. But when I take those situations, my appetites and my agonies, to God, and I remind my heart of His goodness, and I remember who God is. See, that is what we need here. We need not to take God for granted, but we need to focus our heart upon His goodness. Being thankful for what God has done begins with knowing who God is, and God is good. You know, parents, you need to teach your children at an early age to give thanks to God, not to take for granted the things they have. Teach them to be thankful that they will grow. For the simple things, we need to be thankful. But you'll need to cultivate that in your heart. You'll need to be thankful for the simple things, to teach them to be thankful for the simple things. But teach your children to be thankful. You know, in our house, we have one who's just really beginning to talk, so she's beginning to share prayer time with us. And so when she speaks in prayer, the prayer goes something like this: Mom, or I lead, and I, you know, God, thank you for Mommy.
which she usually says Daddy. And if I say thank you for Daddy, she says Mommy. And thank you for Christopher, and she says Joshua. Thank you for Micah, and she says Christopher. And then she says Christopher again and again and again, just because she can say Christopher. But it's interesting, she is learning something, even at just pre-2. She's learning something about theology. We go to God when we're thankful. And we go to God regularly with thanksgiving. Here's my point. Be thankful for the little things. Be thankful often. Be thankful for everything. And trust the Lord. You know, parents, your children will get older and they'll still be thanking the Lord for simple things. Don't break them of that. If they thank God for the house and the car and the toy and the game, whatever it is, don't break them of that. You might bridge the gap to things that they need to be thankful for, like redemption and forgiveness and grace. Bridge the gap, but don't break them of being thankful for God's common and good gifts. Bridge that to the great gifts of God and salvation. Here's the point. We need to be thankful in all things. And we need to be thankful for the little things. And that begins early. But, you know, we need to be thankful when we're prone to focus on us. You know, the concept of adolescence in our worldview is really a very modern concept. It didn't exist 100 years ago. There wasn't this idea of childhood, adolescence, and then adulthood. There was childhood and there was adulthood. And adolescence has come in and it's kind of given us this time and space where I can just think about me. You know, you guys who are teenagers, you girls who are teenagers, that's really not the goal. The goal is to grow into maturity. But there are many writers now who are writing about how adolescence is extending into the 30s. They're now calling it adultlescence. Because it's the delay of responsibility and the delay of looking to life and even actually living life responsibly. And here's the point. If you get me-centered, you'll fail to be God-focused and God-centered and God-thankful. We need to put away me in order to thank God rightly. But it's not just the young and it's not just the growing up. It's those of us who are older, the adults as well. We need to be thankful. Even where we feel like we've got mastery, it's God who's placed us where we are. You know, what's the difference? You know, why am I here in Bryan College Station? Why wasn't I born and grow up in the garbage dump in Manila? It's all God's goodness and providence. Everything I have begins with where God placed me. Let us be thankful to the Lord. Let us continually give Him thanks. You see, thanksgiving is the continual endeavor to grow deeper in our understanding of the goodness of God. That brings me to my third point, the objective our thanksgiving marks. Notice here, our occupation is to be thankful. We ought to thank God at all times. Our observation when we're thankful is to see that it is rooted in the goodness of God. But our objective takes us one step further. It is to see, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. You see, the objective of thanksgiving is to magnify God for His steadfast love. Here's what the text reminds us of. It reminds us that God's loving kindness and mercy is never exhausted. It continues in an unbroken line throughout all eternity. You know, we live in a culture that gives love and takes it back quickly, right? That talks about love freely and extends kindness and then pulls it back when it serves us. But God, you know, I love this phrase. It is the steadfast love of God. Yeah, I think it's better to talk about steadfast. You know, it's a love that sticks. And it's a love that endures. It continues on. There's nothing that can break God's promise of His love being poured out upon us. So we have every need to be thankful. As a matter of fact, our thanksgiving would help us to retrace the love of God back to the cross and to our present situation. You know, whenever your heart struggles with thanksgiving and you find it hard to find where God loves you, go back to the cross and trace your finger and God's providence from the cross to your present situation. When you see the love of God, you will find where you may be thankful in the love of God. We need to see God's steadfast, enduring love as a guide to our thanksgiving. Matthew Henry again. Why was he able to say what he said when he was accosted by robbers? I think it's because of statements like this. He wrote in one of his commentaries, "Thanksgiving is good, but thanksliving is better." You see, Thanksgiving, life without thanksgiving is like a car without an engine. Prayer without thanksgiving is like a fire without wood for fuel. It quickly peters out. But when our focus is upon the goodness of God and the loving mercy and kindness that is steadfast of God, then we have reason to thank. Then we have reason to hold on. Then we will magnify the God who loves us. James Jetta was a young boy. He was asked to go get some firewood and began a fire. So he was reflecting on the day. He had that same day seen his mother, his father, and his four siblings murdered by Muslim radicals in Sudan. He thought that they were beginning to fix their dinner, but as he finished making the fire, they bound him up. Even though he resisted, they were too strong for him. And one of the soldiers said to him, "Young boy, there's good news for you. We are going to let you live, but you must become a Muslim." James Jetta said that he said to them, "I cannot become a Muslim. I am a Christian." It infuriated the soldiers, and so they tossed him into the fire, packed their stuff, and began to leave. He rolled in the fire, got free, rolled out. They left him for dead, but somebody found him and took him to a hospital, and he was preserved. His life was saved, and yet he had all these skin grafts and burns. You know, that could lead you to say that God has left me, He has deserted me. But James Jetta gives thanks for the scars, for their testimony to him of God's enduring love, a testimony of God's grace. Here's what I want you to see, is that when we thank God, we magnify God. When we respond to Him rightly, we magnify Him with the psalmist. Psalm 69:30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." This week, when it's hard to thank God, look at what you're magnifying. Are you magnifying a situation or a circumstance? Or are you magnifying God? See, the goal of our hearts is to make God great in our thanksgiving. For God indeed is good, and He is loving, and He is great. You know, I have to wait a year again to get that recipe, my beloved dressing. But the recipe for Christian thanksgiving is not a once a year, one time a year event. It's a daily, moment by moment endeavor of the Christian life. Let us be thankful together. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace and Your goodness and Your love to us. And Father, I pray that You would renew in us those things that are simple and true, but good for the soul. Father, I pray that You would help us not to be complainers at heart, but help us to contemplate Your mercies and to give thanks for Your goodness and grace. And delight our hearts in You, we pray, O Father, for the good of our lives. And for Your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.